right, here we go. For immunity and reward. Driver's ready. Go!
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Survivors Ready. This is the show where we get together during the Survivor season and we recap the show. And my name is Adam. I'm the host of this show and I'm joined this evening by one Faye Driver. Hello, Faye.
Hi. Hi.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. And I'm also, before you go on, I'll just say I'm also joined by the lovely Sam in the Hinterlands with her Pride 48 shirt on. Hello.
Well, thank you. And hello, everybody.
So anyway, Faye, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, what horrible things can we say about Big Fatty, who is not able to join us tonight?
I don't know. Like, what is he doing?
Who knows? He's gone. I'm sure he's dealing with his mother or something. He's probably doing something extremely noble.
I mean, not to be morbid or anything, but at some point, I don't think it's tonight, but at some point they're going to bury his parents. And I don't remember if we talked to, I don't remember if it was on the recording last week or if it was like pre or post. But I remember us, I think Faye, you asked the question because Fatty's father died like a year and a half, 2 years ago or three, I don't know, a while ago.
Yes. Yeah.
And he said, we're going to bury my parents. And I believe you said, well, where's your dad been all this time?
Was that me? I don't. Was Sam, did you say that?
Maybe it was me.
No, I don't remember this story.
Well, anyway.
I think this might have been pre or post.
It may have been. Anyway, so, I don't think that's this weekend, but at some point they're going to bury or whatever. I think they were both cremated, I think is the deal. So, I mean, because Fatty said his father had been in their old house for all this time. And I assume he doesn't mean they've got his father propped up in the easy chair.
No. I'm sure he
like a lazy boy or something like that. But
he means the cremains, I'm sure. And so they'll get a nice niche for both of them side by side, and
but
it'll be nice.
I don't know that I would even... Don't people just, when you cremate someone, and again, not to be too morbid, but when you cremate someone, don't you get a fancy urn and you just put it up on your mantle or whatever?
Well, you can, but you don't have to.
That's an extra expense.
Or the other thing that you can do, and then, you know, in all those sitcoms where somebody's making brownies and some... You know, some cremains accidentally,
I drank the chocolate milk that was really Kenny's ashes.
Yeah, or something like that. But the other thing, I don't hear about people burying them so much. The other thing I hear is they have some wish that they want, like if you were a Navy person and like you want your remains to be scattered in the ocean. You know, or whatever. So I don't hear about burying, but maybe that's a common thing. Personally, I want to be in one piece, whole, not cremated, buried, you know.
Really? In the ground?
Yeah, in the ground. I don't care if it's in the ground. Although, when we went to, we did a cemetery tour at the Pride 48 New Orleans.
Right.
And we learned all kinds of stuff about that. And one of them is, so the Catholics apparently cannot be, there's something about, now I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to get it completely wrong. There was something weird about how they were buried. They couldn't be buried.
Face down.
On top of each other.
Nobody can be buried face down.
They couldn't be buried.
That's how I want to be buried. Face down, ass up.
They couldn't be. Oh my God! Now I don't remember. There's some reason. So what they do?
So anyway, Survivor.
Survivor. Well, no, we have a personal story section. So
go on. You go on about your extensive knowledge about the cat.
No, I don't remember it. But there's some reason. So that, you know, in New Orleans, how they put them on top of the ground.
No, I don't know
In New Orleans, they put them on top of the ground because
of the high water
table, the flooding. They'll flood. Oh, it floods.
What is the matter with you Americans?
And the bodies. Sam, just, the bodies.
Sam, yes. We don't care. Sam, do you have a personal story?
Other than that, it turned into winter all of a sudden up here where I am. This is part of why I call it the hinterlands. Yes, we have actual snow on the ground.
Oh, yes,
we have. Yes, we do. And it's going to stick around a while because I don't think it's going to get above freezing for a few days.
Are you?
But we have a very low water table. We do not have to worry about flooding where we are, unlike New Orleans.
Are you driving your Subaru around in all-wheel drive mode and doing donuts in parking lots?
I do not do donuts in parking lots, but I definitely, yes, I'm driving the Subaru.
Terrific. That's great.
Everybody, many, many, many people have Subarus up here of some flavor or another.
Right. Yes, of course. Yeah. Well, I'm happy for you. That's great. I love the snow, and I miss it. We won't have snow here if even we get snow, I'm sure it's not going to come for 6 weeks or so.
Ah.
All right. Shall we get started? How many minutes are we in here? Do we want to do more?
Maybe 15.
But we may get snow tomorrow.
Really?
Oh, wow. But
now, is that common for your area?
Well, it really varies. So I'm in the tippy top north part of the state. Uh-huh. So we are the most, if part of Arkansas is going to get snow, normally it would be in my part. In the first year that I moved here, we had a snow that was 24 inches. I'd only been here like a month and we got a snow, a 24 inch snow. Now you're laughing because maybe that's common where you are or something like that.
No, I'm laughing because my inner 12-year-old is taking the helm.
Know what kind of guys you have dated in the past. Your husband currently.
Absurd. It's completely absurd.
I don't even think of that when I think 24 inches. That would be a horse.
I'm just trying to get Faye to crack up, but it worked.
Yeah.
2 feet.
Two feet.
Anyway, so we may get snow tomorrow, but I doubt it will stick. But it's supposed to get really cold tomorrow, and then my stepfather told me he heard it was supposed to snow. But it won't stick. We'll get a dust. Yeah. If anything, we'll get a little dusting.
Right, yes.
Like a woofy, woofy, woofy.
I don't know what that is, but anyway.
You know, Adam, I've been listening to the Geeky Gay program. Typically, I need to binge it because you're very prolific in your episodes. One a day. I don't know how you do a day, an episode a day. I'm impressed by that.
I've gotten a lot of really good feedback from it because before I would do like 45 minute or hour long shows or something, or at least 30 minutes. And I think people like the shorter amount, but the reason I decided to do it is because I would have a tendency to have a really long period of time between episodes. Uh-huh. And because I would just be like, I don't feel like recording today. I don't have enough to fill 30 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever. And then I would go weeks and weeks and weeks and sometimes months. And I decided the month and a half or so before Pride 48 in June, I was just going to try it. And so many people liked the shorter format. And it was much easier for me to fill a shorter format and just do it more often. And the doing it every day makes it more of a habit. So I just, as soon as I come home from work, I just sit down, record 10 minutes. And, so
I would like to actually talk about some of your habits. But Sam, did you have something you wanted to say?
No.
You had your hand up. You're just voting.
I was voting in favor of the short format. Yes, I like the 10-minute segments.
Me too. I am concerned, however, about your eating habits, Adam, because every day you've been going out for dinner. You've cooked maybe once. You did a sous vide pork loin, a pork tenderloin. You know, in Canada, pork tenderloin is very expensive. I don't know what you're paying.
It wasn't a pork tenderloin. It was a boneless butterfly chop. Did I say tenderloin?
You said tenderloin, yes. And I was like, whoa. Does this person live?
We also have tenderloins here. They're not very expensive. Pork tenderloin is not that expensive here. Maybe a small one, a small one for $10 or something. Like,
yeah, well, that's expensive.
Oh, that's not expensive to me. So maybe it's just because I'm 1%. I mean, $10, $15. It depends on. No, I mean. Anyway, well,
think of those poor people on the Fijian islands in Survivor who would kill for a pork tenderloin for $10. But all they're getting
is last at night, but not last night. Mm-hmm.
Right. Precisely. Episode 7. So nobody has said anything mean about Big. So we'll have to pepper some things in here throughout the episode. Aside from the fact that he's burying the ashes of the remains of his mother and father. So we should say a best wishes to Big Fatty. All right, that's the nicest thing I'm going to say about Big Fatty tonight. We start out episode 7 of season 39 with the Vokai tribe on night 16. I believe they've just come back from the elimination vote. And Elaine stated that she has blocked Jason's vote. Lauren is feeling lied to. Aaron, Elaine, and somebody else I didn't quite catch
Liz.
Is that who it was?
Lauren was crying. She was so she was so up in arms about how could you guys do this to me, you know, and she was going to the other girls and like, I feel like I'm, you know, on the outside, and she was, you know, just throwing a fit. And then I don't know if this was at the beginning, but there was one point where Tommy and Lauren were talking, and then Tommy starts to cry because, you know, they're now in the minority. So anyway, I don't know if that was at the beginning.
He got a little teary.
Yeah, there was there was definitely, and I was like, oh, come on, suck it up, guy. Oh, so you're used to being in the majority and always winning the entire game. And now, you know, I don't know, those old Vokai people.
Yeah. Sam, do you have anything you'd like to say about all that?
I do not have thoughts about this opening. No, I started with the commentary when we moved on to the Lyro tribe.
All right, so it is night 16. It's pouring rain. It's the next morning, basically. I guess it's night or day 17. We get through the night. Their fire is soaked and burned out. They're trying to restart the fire. Jamal fails repeatedly. And then Kelly says, well, maybe you want me to have a go? And Jamal is like, no, man, I'm the man. I'm supposed to do it or whatever. Kelly, with two L's and three E's, does it. She actually starts a fire in no time. There's a bit of a kerfuffle there. Sam, do you want to talk about that?
I did notice that it was Kelly tries to do the fire, but Jamal bosses her. And then Kelly does make fire, parentheses, after Jamal is gone, question mark, there was weird editing there. So I don't know how much of this was, you know, actual fighting amongst one another and how much of it was edited to emphasize that. But then they brought up another conflict moving forward.
Well, they definitely
not over the fire.
Well, I mean, they definitely, for sure, they don't love each other, you know, and definitely, but there was some weird editing there, but I will say, the way they made it look, he was trying forever, and multiple people were coming up to him and like, hey, why don't you let somebody else try? No, mm-hmm. I got it. I have a process here, you know, I got to do, you know, all this. And she comes up and she's like, oh, let me try it. And she takes it. And then he's like, well, I was doing this thing and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I was right in the middle of this process or whatever. He was like, I have a method here that I'm going through. And she's like, oh, well, you don't want me to do it? And he's like, well, I would like to continue or whatever. I don't know exactly what. So she gives it back to him. And then, you know, there's this one-on-one shot with her like, well, he basically took it back from me. And then anyway, yeah, at some point, though, Jack came over.
Yes.
I think, and was like, hey, you need to let Kelly do this because you've been trying.
Are you sure? Do I have to? I'm working on it.
And anyway,
yeah,
so,
Jack had to say several times, yes, let her do it. Right.
And I didn't really get why he didn't want anyone else to try. Like, why he thought he was gonna win some brownie points by being the one to start the fire. I know that is a big deal if you're considered to be the one who can start the fire, you know. Mm-hmm. Now I want to sing "He Didn't Start the Fire," or I don't know. I don't know if that those are the words, but anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Well, after all of this, they end up sniping at each other, and there's basically now there seems to be a tiny movement against Jamal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think mainly the girls, maybe.
Well, then we also have the Nora and Jamal Rice fight.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Where Jamal's complaining. I didn't quite pick up on it, but it was basically edited to make it sound like Nora was angry because Jamal was saying she was eating too much rice.
Yeah.
Or dividing it up, and she had taken too much of what was left in the pot.
I will say this. It did look like a lot of rice to me. I don't know how big that shell looked, really big, and it was a mound of rice in there. But she
agreed.
Was like, I don't know how much they eat. I mean,
right.
Of course,
right.
If you're a normal, if you're me and you're eating out every night of the week,
yes.
You're probably having more quantity of food than that.
Driving 20 minutes to get to a Jack in the Box that you like.
No Jack in the Box.
Sandwiches
no
better.
Jack
well,
in the
whatever
Box.
Whatever was
no.
Called.
Anyway, I think you're getting weeks confused as well, because I did cook several times this week. But anyway, so,
that's not what the episode said.
I cooked several times this week. Anyway,
you also ate out several times.
I did.
We don't, this show is not about you.
I do. But,
getting back to the,
I thought compared to what I think they eat. It seemed like quite a bit of rice, but I don't know.
Go ahead,
Sam. What I noticed is that it did indeed look like Nora had a big shell full scoop of rice, but we didn't have anything to compare it to.
Exactly.
No comparison. So I think that may have been editing. I don't know. But in any case, there was a big rice fight.
If the only thing you have to eat is rice, then a measly little clamshell of rice, I mean, that didn't seem like a day's worth of meal to me, that little thing of rice she had. All right, let's move on.
Yes.
All right, so a boat shows up. Janet, the lifeguard, is expected to go to the Island of Idols.
Dun, dun, dun!
So she's scared. She has a little cry moment, and everyone says, "Oh, you'll be fine."
She's
blah, blah,
the
blah.
First person to cry when they when they're going to that. I haven't seen anybody else. I was like, either she is. I didn't see her as that emotional a person. I mean, she seems She seems like a fairly stalwart. Is that is that a good word to use for someone? She didn't seem like the type of person that would cry that easily. And man, they tell her she's got to get on that boat, and she starts crying, and she's so worried that that's going to put a target on her back.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it could.
But deservedly so, though. I mean, but still, now we are at day 19. So it's been 3 weeks and almost 4 weeks. No, 3 weeks, I guess. Almost 3 weeks that these people have been in this situation. I think the nerves are going to start to get rattled. And I think she is more tender than she lets on. And we find out later on, I won't get into it, but we find out later on at the tribal council, she has a couple of good moments. So she's winning me over. She is a favorite of mine. All right. She goes off to the Island of Idols, where, you know, the lesson this time is the calculated risk.
Mm-hmm.
You can have safety, but no power if you play this game and you win. If you don't win, you'll lose your vote at the next tribal. There's a bit of a build-up here. This is always this double-edged sword with these.
Yeah, now this one, I do want to say, this reward was a little bit different because it was not an immunity idol. So all of like the past rewards where you get safety, it's in the form of an immunity idol. This was a little bit different. So, and I have not seen this type of reward before. So this was, you will have to leave the tribal council and go back to your tribe area, whatever those are called, your camp. And everyone will see you go. Like, I mean, it's not like a secret thing. You have to get up, leave, and then they vote, and they can't vote for you. So everyone knows that you have this safety and that you're leaving, and they also know that you're not going to be able to vote because you have to leave. So you're not playing an immunity idol. You're just leaving, and you're not part of any of it. So anyway, that was the safety.
Which is, very bizarre,
and
Sam.
And she could use it up to, what?
Seven people
remaining? Yeah.
And I didn't know whether they'd ever done that before, but it did seem interesting that it was essentially a sit out. You know, I'm getting up and not playing. I can't vote for anyone else, but neither can you vote for me. I thought that was an interesting twist.
Mm-hmm.
But I also didn't know if maybe they did that every few seasons or something, if we'd seen that before.
Right.
Well, I'm no Evan. I mean, but I've also never seen that. So, you know, I watched Survivor at the beginning, but I was much younger then because it's been going on for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I did watch Survivor some when I was in my early 20s, and then I had a long gap. And now I've watched probably 6 or 7 seasons in a row. So I haven't seen everyone, but I've never seen that either. So
Long Gap was my Asian stripper name.
Everybody, welcome to the stage.
Put your hands together.
Yeah, put your hands together for
Long
Asian Gap. Oh, wait. Why did I put Asian in there?
Because Faye did.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay, so so Rob and Sandra present this plan to her. You can win this thing or not or whatever. This is the calculated risk, and she says, "Well, no, I'm not taking this deal. It's dumb." And they're all like, "Oh, congratulations! You're the first person ever who's ever thought twice about an offer." And they're like, they're presenting it as though she's some sort of genius or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it comments about this whole interaction with Rob and Sandra. I mean,
well, that's where we got the title of the episode. It was Boston Rob who said, "I was born at night, but not last night." And that was where Sandra says in front of the camera for everybody that she says, "I say the winner this season will be a female." And she offers to give Boston Rob 2-1 odds on that. And as I recall, he declines.
Whatever that means. 2-1. I don't know.
I mean, what are they betting? Yeah. What the heck? 2-1. What? 2 coconuts to your 1 coconut?
Well,
yeah,
you know, they are living on that island and they're only getting the same share of rice that everyone else is. So
yeah. Let's go make some rice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're building their, snug. That's what they're calling it. Their 2-story snug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did you notice that they had to go off and make rice when they were done?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, let's go off and make our rice now.
Which sounded like such a Fed line, too. Like,
oh, yes, of course.
Couldn't have been worse.
I don't know if I would have. I feel like maybe that was a smart move. What she said is, I think it's strategically bad for me to do something where everyone is going to know that I'm doing this. It's out in the open. And they know it's related to Island of the Idols. They know all of this. It may be post-merge. And I think it's going to put more bad blood on me or a target on me. And so I don't want to do it. Although, I don't know. I think, and she's like, I don't think it's worth it because it's like a 50-50 shot that I'm going to win this game. Because it wasn't a skill game. It was just a, like, roll the dice sort of. There was some kind of colored things, and I don't know. Anyway,
well, they weren't very specific on what the actual game was.
Maybe you draw them out of a bag. I don't know. There were 2 colors, but they didn't really say exactly what it was. I don't know. I may have still played though, because the the, what is it? Not the reward, the opposite of reward. The punishment, if you don't win, is just like a, another block vote or something, right?
Lose your vote.
Yeah, yeah, lose your vote. So, I mean, I don't.
No vote.
I don't know. I think I would have taken my chances on it. But they seem to think it was really impressive that she decided not to. So.
Well, I agree. I think it was a bad, it was a bad offer. I don't think the ability to walk away from tribal council, I think that's the worst thing you can do.
Agreed.
So I think she saw that there was no real power, no real advantage. If she was in a different position, if she was like an underdog or at risk in some way, it may have been worth it. But she's in a really good position right now. So I think she was bang on the money to not take this shitty deal. Okay. She comes, we go to commercial.
Mm-hmm.
She comes, we come back from commercial. Janet is on the boat coming in, and someone shouts to her, "Show us the idol." And as she's coming in, she lifts her shirt up and shows her breasts. She flashes everybody.
I was just waiting for somebody to throw some beads at her or something. It seemed like such a you know, Mardi Gras sort of moment. She lifted her shirt up just like you would it, you know, like I do every time I'm on Bourbon Street, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was a brilliant move on her part. Everybody loved it.
But can't they couldn't you keep an idol in your pants? Or other I mean,
could. But it got everybody distracted.
I mean, we know Kelly. What, it was Kelly, right, who put the idol in her ponytail?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes. I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, it was cute. It was cute, it was. And it made everyone laugh.
It was good
TV. And,
it was really good
whatever.
TV.
Mm-hmm. So, whatever. We get through that. Everyone's impressed by her. They don't expect her or suspect her of anything. She gives her bogus story. And then Kelly, with two L's and three E's, is worried about, oh, my God, she's been to the Island of Idols. She's going to know the secret. But the secret doesn't come out about Rob and Sandra. Woohoo!
No. She tells a story that's very similar with those chances in Game of Chance, blah, 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 yeah.
Well, every time somebody comes back, Kelly is always like, oh my God, I'm so scared. What are they going to say? And you always have that one-on-one with Kelly where she's like, I was so worried. You know, what were they going to say? Were they going to keep the secret? And basically she gave the same sort of thing that Kelly did, saying, oh, it was a game of chance. Blah, blah, blah. I lost or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't say anything about Rob and Sandra. So.
Right. All right. So it's day 18. We go and visit the Vokai tribe, the purple people.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy Dan is at it in the sleeping tent. He's flopping all over and feeling up and.
Somebody's hand is on somebody's ass.
Right. That's all. You're right. That's all we really see. But apparently it's Dan.
Yeah.
It was Dan
tell.
And Elizabeth.
Oh, it was Elizabeth's ass. Okay. Oh, I couldn't tell. I couldn't quite tell. By size, it had to be either Aaron or Dan's hand. And I couldn't tell which girl's ass it was. But it was one of, you know.
The reason I know that is because they had a conversation the next morning.
Right, yes.
And they were, Elizabeth was saying, yeah, he was basically, she was telling them where all he was touching her and like all this kind of stuff. And they were having that conversation, so.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which makes Dan a target. So they're all saying, let's get Dan. Well, they didn't all say, but there seemed to be an aura about Dan being a problem.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, Tommy, the crying redhead, and Lauren are scheming against Dan, and then they start spreading rumors about, you know, untrue rumors about Dan said this and Dan said that.
Yeah, it's interesting because they were doing that, but Lauren was like, you know, we got to do everything we can, but they know that you and I are kind of tight already, so it's going to be difficult. And after they start going around and talking to everyone and spreading this rumor about Dan, we get a one-on-one with Missy, who has been very strategic this whole time.
Oh, yes.
Agreed.
And she says, yeah, they're trying to get us to put the target on Dan, but those two are really tight. I think we should get one of them out. And I'm like, man, she does not miss anything.
No, I mean, no,
she's brilliant.
She's sharp. Really sharp.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just seeing if Missy is in my work pool. You know, I'm in a work survivor pool. Where are you, Missy? I can't find her. Anyway, it's because she has a different first name, right? Oh, it's not mine. She's not mine. Oh, darn it. Okay. So Missy and Elizabeth then target Tommy and say, Tommy, start working people against Tommy.
Right.
In the end, it doesn't really matter because, well, we'll find out.
We'll
later.
Get there. Yes, that's good.
All right. We go to commercial. We come back. It's day 19 now. It is the rain is pouring down as the two tribes come in for immunity challenge. It is the coconut puzzle. So you have to throw coconuts into a net.
Now, why did we not get a reward challenge this week?
I don't know.
We've been doing reward and then immunity for the past few weeks, and now all of a sudden we went back to just immunity. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't even recall him mentioning a reward because it seems like before they started doing, at the beginning of this season, they were just doing immunity, but they would throw in a reward with the immunity. But now it seems like, and then they went to a reward and an immunity. And now today, or this episode, they just did an immunity, but he never mentioned a reward at all. So I don't know.
There's only been like three rewards in the whole season, right? There was the chickens. There was there some food or something?
I have something from Wikipedia that says that I was born at night, not last night. That's this episode. The reward challenge from this episode was unaired. However, press photos show that this challenge did happen. Since it did not air, it is not clear who won the reward, and they don't say what the reward was either. It's listed as unknown.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, thank you for that, Sam.
You're quite welcome. Please continue.
All right. We go to the immunity challenge. The two teams, they have to shoot coconuts into a basket that releases a huge puzzle blocks which fall, and there's I believe it's a 5x5 grid of puzzle blocks, so 25 puzzle pieces. It actually had stopped raining by the time the competition started. The two teams go off. Vokai, the purple team, is in the lead. They get the first drop. They get all their coconuts in the net and drop their puzzle pieces first. And then it appears, though, that the Lero tribe come from behind. They end up getting their puzzle pieces. They're doing quite well. And it's a neck-and-neck competition with the puzzle pieces.
And Vokai thinks they have it at one point.
Yes. Now, but I'd like to take a brief aside to be annoyed at Jeff playing up how heavy those damn puzzle pieces were, when if you watched it closely, they were frickin' thick foam. I mean, if you watched the way that they bounced, they were not the big, heavy wood blocks that he was trying to make them out to
be. I think they are heavy.
I think they are heavy, but they are not as heavy as he was making them out to be. You know that really thick, like very dense foam rubber that's I can't think of a good example of it. It's very dense, but I don't think that those are actual wood blocks because Lyro had them all sort of piled up on each other on edge during this challenge, and they were hoisting them around pretty
easily. No, I don't agree. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm suspect.
Well, and from other challenges, I've seen people injure themselves with these kind of things. I mean, generally speaking, these challenges and puzzles are heavy and difficult to maneuver because...
Well, I've seen the ones where they actually do have to have multiple people move the blocks into place. But this was not that.
Well, they did because several of the blocks were moved by two girls holding one end of each one. Did you like Elizabeth and Missy were each on like had one side of a block and they were moving one block. And they were both holding one. It's like they were sharing one block and moving.
Right. Okay.
So, I mean, if it was light, why would they be doing that? I mean, that would be point. You're being very inefficient if it's a light block and two of you are moving it.
All right. I still remain cynical, but I am somewhat consoled.
Yeah, I think they may not have been as heavy as they appeared, but they were definitely cumbersome. And I think they
agreed for cumbersome for sure.
Yeah, and trying to jam them into the puzzle grid, I think it was a very, you know, something that you really had to zhuzh to get. I think they were hard to finesse is the word I'm looking
yes,
for. You
yes.
really
I,
had to
I'm
finesse
not
them
it
into
was
place.
Easy.
Finagle, yes. Finagle.
That's a right. good word, finagle.
In any case. It's very close. The Lero tribe had three pieces, which were just ever so slightly not quite in place. And they had one particular piece, which they couldn't get in. I really felt like the Lero, the yellow team had, were closer to being finished, but they just couldn't get it together. So in the end, the Vokai team wins it.
Well, it was a real nail biter because Vokai thought they were finished at one point and said, yeah. Jeff. And it was obvious that they were not, that they had it wrong.
Right.
I mean, I was looking at it going, how do you think you're finished? You have two blocks wrong.
And Lane was saying that.
Yeah.
He kept
right.
saying, it ain't right. It ain't right.
Exactly. And they're calling him over and he's like, no. And then at the end, when it was so neck and neck after that, the Lyro team had the last block in place and couldn't get it all the way pushed down. And mm-hmm. if they'd have just picked it up a little differently and, you know, mm-hmm. instead of trying to, it's hard to explain on audio, but like they were trying to like push it in and they needed to lift it evenly and kind of situate it over and let it
they
evenly
needed to
drop
remove-
down.
And reinsert.
Yeah, remove and reinsert.
They were not familiar with Pythagoras' theorem of A squared plus B squared equals C squared. So the engineering just didn't work for them.
No.
Okay.
But yes,
so.
yes, Vokai won.
All right, they win. Lero goes back to camp, dejected. Vokai team, whatever. Who nobody cares.
Right.
All right. So the focus then begins on the Lero team, the losing team. Dean becomes the target because he's smarmy, as somebody said.
And do you think that it's just the opinion of someone that they're smarmy if they're attractive? I mean, an attractive guy, is that just very easy to put the word smarmy on?
It might be. Because they were also, I don't know, because they were also saying that Aaron was smarmy. And after serious consideration, I have reconsidered and I have decided that Aaron is the best looking male on the show right now, with Dean running in second place. He is no longer in first place. And they called him smarmy last week, or maybe it was the week before. So you might be onto something there.
Hmm. I mean, I'm not hanging out with these people, but first of all, I don't know that I've ever called anyone smarmy. But it seems like one of those words that's like, oh, it's a really attractive, you know, guy who, I don't know, I guess always gets what he wants and is kind of sleazy about it or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that fits, but it seems like a convenient adjective. That's all I know.
Okay. So Dean seems to be aware that he could be a target. He's wary of being a target, but they really have been giving him some confidence that he's not. So
yeah, so Jack and Jamal are kind of, you know, talking to everyone and like, oh, it's Dean, right? It's Dean. And Karishma goes up to them and they're like, she's like, who is it? And they're like, oh, it's Dean. It's going to be Dean. This is going to be super simple. It's going to be Dean. They talk to Janet and Kelly. Everyone's in agreement. Nora, like all of them. And then, but Jack and Jamal go to Dean because they've been kind of working together as men. And they're trying to still convince him that they have this men's alliance thing going on. So they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be Nora because she's such a, you know, she's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which she is. But as Kelly is doing her diary room or whatever we're calling
it. Yes, her camera shot. Her one-on-one with the camera.
Yes. She's thinking, I have an idol and I have to use it, but I don't need it. What am I going to do with it? And ding, a light bulb goes off in her head.
Eureka!
And she thinks, we see her brain process going on camera while she realizes what she could do. And she decides she's going to give her idol to Dean to save him. And use Dean to, you know, make a vote or whatever.
Well, she thinks because they have a connection, because he dated a friend of hers or something. I can't remember.
Oh, my God. And,
someone she knew. I think a coworker. Not a close friend, but still.
So I have kind of two thoughts about this. The first thought is, I do think it's very strategic gameplay to say, hey, I have this idol here. No one has thrown my name out, so there's like no reason, but I have to use it tonight or else it's dead. Mm-hmm. Is there anything I can do that's going to be to my advantage later on? And she says, hey, I think I would work really well with Dean. I think he would have my back if I give him my idol. But on the other hand, she's in a position where the old Vokai members are the majority on this new Lyro tribe. And she's putting a target on one of her own, or, you know, one of her own Vokai people, and putting them in a position where they are now going to be like neck and, well, they're still going to be, I guess, they're still going to be in the lead. But anyway, she's like, who do I need to vote out? And she's like, Jamal would be a really good choice, is what she says.
Are you saying that the target she's putting a target on Dean? By helping Dean and is that what you're saying?
No, she's not putting a target on Dean. She's giving Dean an idol.
She's going after one of her own by picking either Jack or Jamal.
Right. I'm saying because Kelly used to be a Vokai.
Right. So Janet, and Jack and Jamal are both
right.
Vokai.
Janet, Kelly, Nora, and Jamal are all from the original Vokai tribe. Dean and Karishma are the only two left on the current Lyro tribe that were Lyro before. So it's 4-2 if we're looking at like alliances, right? So what I'm saying is, on the one hand, I can see, oh, I've got this idol. What can I do to help myself? But on the other hand, if you're on a tribe where four of you have a majority, does it really help you? Unless maybe she was just thinking, well, we're going to merge really soon and this is not going to, I don't know, because she has four. If they find out that she did that, they're going to be against her. So okay. I don't know.
I have thoughts on this. Okay, Sam, what do you think? Do you have anything?
I thought it made great television. That's for sure. I mean, this is absolutely terrific television. And my only thought before you go ahead is that I thought it was a play that Kelly was making for her personal game, thinking more strategically toward the end game after merge than with the current set of team. Because, see, now she's got Dean in her back pocket, was my thought.
Right. I agree. I think this is an excellent move on Kelly's part to have an arsenal, if you will, of players. She has the four original Vokai people, or the three people, I mean. So she has a team of four, right? But then she also has a puppet in Dean, because Dean will now jump head over, or whatever, cartwheel backwards to help her. I think it was a brilliant move on her part.
And I don't disagree, but I'm saying it's very risky because if any of the old Vokai members, even after the merge, find out that she made this move and got out one of the original Vokai, they're gonna be mad at her and possibly want to get her out because she's flipped against the original Vokai. Because the whole thing you try to do when you're gonna merge is you try to stay as tight with your original, whoever your original tribe was, so that when you merge, you still have numbers, which is what a lot of the Vokai are doing, right? The original Vokai are still doing on their two separate tribes. So I'm saying if they find out she did that and got out one of the original Vokai, it could look bad for her. Yes, Dean will be a puppet, but it could backfire, is all I'm saying.
But still, I think she played it really brilliantly in the way that she handed this idol over to Dean, so it looks like Dean had the idol.
All along.
Dean doesn't make any mention of Kelly having an idol or anything like that. So Kelly is on the seventh page of the paper here. Mm-hmm. Well, Dean is up front, taking the brunt. Mm-hmm. The only thing, I want to talk more about Kelly later as we get through the vote. I think there's something significant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So there's that. We'll talk about that later. Well,
she has to trust Dean a lot because he could also at any point tell people that she gave that to me. Now, maybe that wouldn't do him any good, but he could tell people that, right? And so she's really trusting him.
She is. But I think she has all the power. She says, listen, if she says, we don't know what their conversation was, she could have said, I'm going to give you this idol. Don't you tell a soul that I gave it to you. And you and I are going to work together. You vote for so-and-so, right? Mm-hmm. I think she's brilliant. Okay, let's move on. So we go to commercial. We come back. It is now the tribal council. You know, I tend to fast forward through these tribal councils. This talking is very tiresome to me. Do you guys want to talk about what happened at tribal council?
Well, I thought that Janet got off one interesting line because they were talking about this girls' alliance. And I think that the question was put to Nora and it got preachy, something about girls' alliance and feminine power. And I don't remember. I said, then got preachy, blah, blah, and something about, and Sandra likes Karishma. But Janet said something that I thought was very clever. She said, to assume that women are going to bond based just on gender is actually to put women down because it does not say that the woman is going to be smart and that in actually you need both men and women backing you to move forward in this game, just like real life.
Well, because Jamal was making a big deal about how he felt like he could be one of the ones on the outs and possibly going home tonight because there could be a women's alliance and they all had a target on him. And the women were saying that they were out, not outraged, but I can't think of the word that they used, but they were basically offended.
Right.
That he would just assume that they have an alliance because they're women and they're all the same gender. And so then Janet and he's like, you know, and Jamal's like, oh, well, he kind of came around to what they were saying towards the end.
Yes.
But I was really interested in that conversation, though, because Jamal has an idol. And I don't think anyone knows he has an idol. And so based on the way they edited everything, the only name I heard Kelly throw out for her plan was Jamal. And so I thought at the beginning of this conversation that, oh, Jamal has picked up on something. And he's going to play his idol. And I'm like, gosh, if Dean plays his idol and Jamal plays his idol, who's going home? Is what I was thinking because of this whole conversation. Because it seemed like to me that Jamal was feeling like he might be getting some votes. And so that's what that conversation led me to think he was thinking he was going to get votes. It went a different way, but they were really tugging my chain on this one because... You know, I thought he was the one that was going to go home, is what I thought going into tribal.
Well, I would like to just point out that Nora, right at the top of this this tribal council meeting, she blabbers. She just blathers on and natters on about things, and she puts her foot in her mouth like she she basically said, "I'm against." She called somebody out. Was it Jamal?
So first, I don't remember what the question was, but there was some question by Jeff about, is it super simple because you've got four previous Vokai people? And Nora basically said, yep, we're voting for Dean. I mean, she didn't say that, but she all but said, yep, we're all voting for Dean. Sorry, fella. You know,
right.
You're going home. And then, you know, I thought, well, gosh, you know, that's, I don't know if I would have, you know, said that so blatantly. And then later, somebody mentioned something about, well, your old Vokai little thing might not be as strong as what you think because Nora has put out Jamal's name. I can't remember if Jamal is the one that said it or whether someone else did. But then Nora says, so Jamal point blank asks Nora. Well, he says to Jeff, Jeff, would you ask Nora if she's ever wanted to throw me under the bus? And so Jeff says, yes. Nora... Have you ever? And Nora comes right out and says, well, yeah, but that doesn't mean I don't want to play with Vokai now. We just both have very strong personalities. And, you know, we've kind of not liked each other this whole time. I thought that was also something I would have been a little bit more. No, I've never done that. I may have in frustration, you know, said mean things, but I would never. But she really said, well, I may have said that once or twice, you know.
I found this whole exchange with Nora to be very odd. She didn't say you're not my enemy, but she basically said, I don't trust Dean. Dean is not as trustworthy, but you know, Jamal, I might trust Jamal slightly more. I think that's what I got out of it anyway.
Now I will point out here, Kelly did mention that she needed to get one other vote with her and Dean. And that she was going to talk to Nora. But we don't see the conversation with Nora.
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, maybe she didn't talk to Nora. Because Nora sure is throwing Dean's name out there, you know. So, I don't know.
Okay, well, perhaps it's time we move on to the vote. Unless anyone has anything else to talk about.
Nope, that's it.
Okay, yep. Well, we go to the vote. Everybody makes their votes, and then what's his name comes back. I'll count the votes or whatever. I have the votes. If anybody has an idol, now would be the time. And of course, Dean perks up and says, I have an idol. Let me dig it out. So Dean gets an immunity idol. It's proven to be good. And then Jamal pops up with an idol and says, I'm using it for Nora. What
the hell was that?
I don't know, but well, first of all, I want to say Kelly did a very good job acting when Dean stood up and said he had an idol. She had the most believable I'm shocked face of anyone.
But there was a point where does anybody have an idol, and it looked like the edit looked like to me like, I don't know anybody. Oh, Dean, do you have an idol? Like, was there not a little bit of foreshadowing in Kelly's face?
I don't know. Maybe. But I thought she did. But yeah, I was flabbergasted, for lack of a better term, by Jamal because he and Nora don't like each other.
Yeah, what's up with that?
At the beginning of Tribal, he was sure he was going to get some votes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why the hell? I mean, I know you want to keep your Vokai together. I mean, I assume that's why he did it. But at the beginning, 5 minutes. I mean, I know I think those tribals take 4 hours or something. But in the edit, it seemed like 5 minutes previous, he was like, I don't know. My name could be, you know.
Exactly.
And then he gives it to Nora, who he doesn't like.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that.
What the hell?
Is it possible that this idol of his is one of these expiring idols and this was the last day he could have used it?
Then why would he have played it for himself?
Because
I would not have been so confident that my name was not going to be written down, is what
exactly
I'm saying.
Exactly, me either. I was not surprised that he was going to play it, but I was surprised he didn't play it for himself. It's like, why are you doing that?
And at that
you
point,
could be going home.
At that point, I was sure Jamal was going home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. Like, Kelly and Dean, all they talked about was Jamal, or all I remember. He talks about thinking he has his, you know, he's got some risk. Then he plays his idol for Nora, who no one was going to put any votes for. No one had discussed voting for Nora.
Well, there was a tease, though. There was a bit of a tease that Kelly wanted to either Nora or Jamal voted out. Yeah. So there was a sense that Nora could have been on the block.
I don't know, because Kelly said she wanted to talk to Nora to get her to vote with her and Dean.
Right.
For whoever they
and
were voting out.
And when she was doing the one-on-one to the camera, she was saying, ooh, Jack or Jamal, which will it be? Was kind of her thought. So, yeah, it was good TV. It was a really good episode. I'll give you that.
So okay, then let's read the votes.
Okay, actually, Sam, you have the best vote.
So Jeff confirmed that Dean's idol is real. Any votes cast for Dean don't count. Jamal did the crazy playing this for Nora. And then we start. First vote for Dean. Second vote for Dean. Third vote for Dean. Fourth vote for Dean. Fifth vote for Dean. And none of those first five votes count. You know, doesn't count, doesn't count, doesn't count. Sixth vote, Jack. And it's like, ooh, interesting. You know, then what's going to happen? And so he pulls out the seventh vote and he says, all right, the first member of the jury and the seventh person to be voted off is Jack.
I was shocked because I did not have Jack on my radar at all, because the way I was reading it is that Kelly had decided that Jamal should go home. That is the way I read that whole conversation. Maybe she mentioned Jack's name, but they focused a lot on Jamal. And mm-hmm. they had me hook, line, and sinker. I thought Jamal is the one. If Dean plays that idol, Jamal is going home. I did have that one part of me that I was like, wouldn't it be ironic if Kelly gave away her idol? Jamal played his idol for himself, and one person voted for Kelly for some reason. And then she ended up going home. Uh-huh. But I that crossed my mind. But Jack was not on my radar at all. Like, I did not.
No, mine either. I thought that, you know, Dean would play his idol and Jamal would play his idol. And then it would be a mess. And wouldn't that be interesting?
And, you know, just in memory of Kenny G, I would just like to, you know.
Oh.
Poor Jack.
Oh, we'll miss him.
Yes.
Anyway, he was very upbeat about it. He had a smile on his face.
But he
said he
though.
Was freaking pumped to be on the jury. That was nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but we discover after we get through the teaser, we'll talk about the teaser in a minute. We discover that the engineer of all of much of this, Kelly, with two L's and three E's, didn't actually vote. She voted for Dean to be. Up with that?
She is devious.
Yeah, why would she? Well, I mean, I think I know why.
So it's brilliant, but it's not. Because.
Oh, you're so negative about these people. Come
on. No. It's brilliant, but what I was trying to think is, why does that really do her any good? Because the people in the tribe do not see the votes ever. So, and she's the only one that knows how she voted. So it's like, she's never going to be able to use that in any sort of strategic way, because she's the only one that knows how she voted. So there, like, no one can come to them and say, yeah, by the way, Kelly voted with the original Vokai, you know? So yes.
Yeah, you could though. Well, I mean,
It was smart, because then she could say, in all honesty, oh, no, guys, on the last vote, I voted for Dean. Yeah. And there wouldn't be any ring of falsehood to it. Because, you know, these people are listening for lies all the time. And mm-hmm. some people are better at lying than others.
Definitely.
And I thought maybe that's why she did that. Because, you know, she's got Dean voting for Jack, and she said she was going to talk to Nora. And so she got Nora voting for Jack. And maybe she did that because maybe she thought someone else had an immunity idol. I don't know.
Hmm? Yeah.
I didn't figure it out right away. I didn't figure it out until much later. I'm like, wait a minute. If there were only two votes for Jack and Dean and Nora voted for Jack, we saw as the credit rolls, that means, oh, that little vixen. How savvy.
Very savvy. I think it's absolutely so that she can say, like, she, Nora, the assumption is that she knew that Dean would be going home, which would leave one vote for Jack. And I think Kelly convinced Nora to vote for Jack, and Nora will say, oh yeah, I voted for Jack, and Kelly can remain with her hands with no blood on her hands.
Maybe, but then we know how Nora will just say whatever is on her mind. She could also say, oh yeah, Kelly told me to vote for Jack and I did it.
But then Kelly can say, I did not. I voted for Dean.
Yeah.
Or, well, I voted for Dean.
And Nora is so, I mean, Nora is so, consistent and straightforward and trustable in her crazy blathering.
Well, I've never seen her lie. She always just says too much. So, yeah, she does. I don't know. But anyway.
But she lacks credibility, though, because of other things, though, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, so anyway, that's that for this episode. Jack is gone. We see the teaser for next week. There's a merge.
Now, I'm going to tell you guys, you should definitely go on YouTube and find the Ponderosa video as we go through. If you're interested. If you're not, fine, but we find it very interesting to go and watch. So we watched the Ponderosa video already for Jack. He lost 12 pounds.
Is he wearing tighter clothes?
He was very happy. No, I mean, not really, but he was very happy he was super smiley and said he was going to try to bring his positivity to all the other jury members as they came to Ponderosa. He really wanted to be like a bright, shining light as they all,
that's nice.
And so it was a really fun thing. And it's always amazing to me how much food they order when they go. He ordered like a cheeseburger, two bowls of ice cream, and a full pizza. It's very like, and now,
well, that sounds like a typical meal for you.
Whatever. So
okay, we had the merge. The teaser showed the merge. Everyone's wearing the blue buffs. And there's a buffet.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, they always have a buffet for the merge. That's like, they get rewarded for making it that far. Mm-hmm. So I do want to say one thing about the merge. That means that next week... we are choosing our teams.
Uh-oh.
And so you guys need to be picking who is going to be on your team. And we're going to do it like we did for the Big Brother. But first, the first choice is going to have to be unique. We're going to get three people on our team. And then your second and third choice do not have to be unique. So,
okay.
So we can have the same people for second and third choices, correct. But we each have to have one that nobody else has.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, guys. It's been a good episode. So, Faye, as usual, where can we find you?
You can find me at pinkwheelnuts.com. I just want to say, Adam, quickly, I would like to thank you for all the work you do with Pride 48. I know you spend a lot of effort. You've been busy this last week with the suits meetings and such. And I want to say we appreciate everything you and the suits do for Pride 48.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Sam, where can you be found?
I can be found as Sam in the Hinterlands on the Twitter sphere.
And
where can you be found?
And wearing Pride 48 t-shirts. I can be found at geekygay.com, where I do a 10-minute a day, 5-day a week podcast. And at pride48.com, you can also find many more LGBT and LGBTQ friendly podcasts at pride48.com. And the tribe has spoken. This episode must end. Good night, everyone.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.
I can't time that damn...